We are looking this morning at Isaiah chapter 41, and I'm going to read for us out of Isaiah 41, 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us draw together near for judgment. Who stirred up one from the east? Whom victory meets at every step. He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer, him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good, and they strengthen it with nails, so that it cannot be moved. This is the word of God. So we are looking this morning at Isaiah 41. And if you've been keeping up with our videos, we've been studying the book of Isaiah and last week completed chapter 40. And at the end of chapter 40, there's some great pictures. There's a picture of someone running and not getting tired, of someone waiting on God and being renewed. And then in chapter 41, he continues with this same idea. Notice just the very first word in Isaiah chapter 41. Listen. And he says, listen to me in silence. If you have been in your house with a lot of people over the last couple of months, like me, you look forward to some silence. You look forward to not having a whole lot and even being able to listen to something. Podcasts, other things that you might be tuning into to listen. This is the idea here. Is to slow down, to wait, as chapter 40 said, and to listen. Listen to God. Now, you may have been tuning in this week to the news that's been talking about all kinds of stuff that isn't very silent, right? But the interesting thing, the most interesting thing to me that I've been hearing about are these autonomous zones that are being created, right? So in Seattle, especially, there's a place, and if you can imagine, if you haven't heard about this, that people are gathering together and getting in a group and saying, we are now autonomous, or we're going to govern ourselves apart from the normal state, federal government, even city government. We're creating our own government, right? Now, I see good and bad about that. I won't go into all of that. But Isaiah 41 is talking about a court case, in a sense, where God is coming to the people and saying, listen. He's speaking into their own autonomy. He's saying, you want to be autonomous? You want to be separate? You want to govern yourself? Verses 5 through 7 go into the idolatry of that, of saying, hey, I want to be over here. I want to worship my own God, and I want to have my own rules, right? But God says, no, just listen. And even when we start here in Isaiah 41, there is this idea of a courtroom, a court case even. It's court case language. You think that you want to be autonomous, give me a chance. And then notice he says at the end of, or really the middle of verse 1, chapter 41, and then I'll let you speak. And then we will draw together and we will find the right judgment. What is God doing here? What's he bringing out for them? He wants them to see that he's okay with their voice. He's not telling them not to speak. But he's saying, first, listen to me and understand what I have to say. And you have to know, too, that even the language and the tone here is that God really is the sovereign king. Kids, hear that word, sovereign, sovereignty, right? This word means that he is the ruler. He's the one that has voice over everyone else. And he's saying, listen. He says, listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Now, when he says coastlands here, what that really does mean is everyone. Sea to shining sea, to the ends of the earth. I want you to listen. And I want you to be renewed in your strength by listening and waiting in silence, just as he said at the end of Isaiah 40. And then I want you to approach. You can again imagine a courtroom here, right? And he's saying, it's okay for you to even approach the bench. I want to hear what you have to say. Because often when we actually speak and say to God, this is what I think about this, not just maybe privately, might be not on just on Facebook for just my private followers, but publicly, to say, here's what I really think and believe. God says, come. But first, listen. Hear what I have to say. And then notice at the end of verse 4, for I am the Lord. Does that mean anything? Does it mean anything that I'm the one that created all this? And you have to know the sarcasm of Isaiah. It's all through it. Does it mean anything that I'm the one who's destroyed the kings? Does it mean anything that I'm the one who's raised up kings and taken them down? That I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords? So listen. Listen to me. Listen as I speak. I want to hear what you have to say. But you have to listen and listen in silence. And then in verse 2, he says, okay, because I'm the sovereign king, let me show you some more stuff. Let's back up for a second. Look at verse 2. Who is it who stirred up one of the east, whom victory meets at every step? Who's the one that stirred up Cyrus to come and sack Babylon? Is that one of you? Is that one of you in verse 5 through 7 who created these idols? Was that another religion? Was that another political perspective? No. That was me. Who is it that did this? Who gives up, verse 2, who gives up nations? Who is it that raises up nations and then takes them down? Who is it that tramples kings underfoot? Again, these rhetorical questions to point us to say, let's step back for a second in the world we live in right now and say, is God in control or not? Or is he a little bit in control? Or is he just the big man upstairs who kind of Is this the referee, right? Yeah, they're probably more right. No. He is the king. He's the one that does all of this. Look at verse 3. He pursues them. He pursues those who argue with him. He pursues those who are saying that he's wrong. And then he passes safely. I love this picture. He showed up to the fight. And then guess who walked away? God did. Safely. He walked away because he won. He is the one who takes care of this. And notice he's saying, listen to me because I speak. But he doesn't just leave it as I'm going to say something, even though he could. He spoke entire creation into existence. Let there be light. There was light, right? He doesn't just speak. He speaks and works. He stirs. He sacks kingdoms. He pursues people. God reigns. God rules. And then what he says is that based on this, I want to bring renewal to you. That's kind of what I was trying to say to the kids, is that if you know that God's in control, you know that God is sovereign and the ruler of all things, that should bring us peace. Because if we're honest this morning, I think all of us would say that there have been moments when we're keeping up with the headlines that we've gone, is God in control here? Does he know what he's doing? Isaiah 41 reminds us again, yes, he does. Absolutely. He knows. And so are we going to listen to him? Are we going to sit in silence, meditate on God, and listen to God? Are we going to wait on God? Or do we have to take justice into our own hands? What do we do? If you're like me, you've thought, gosh, I need to do something. I need to do something. Here's the best thing we can do. Wait on God. And be renewed. Feel small. Look at him as the one throughout history that is the sovereign king of all things, that is the creator of the ends of the earth, that we don't have to worry. He is our God. Through creation, through his providence, through his word, through his spirit, God speaks. And God speaks throughout because he does stir, because he does pursue, and because he continues to work. We talked about this last week in the video. God is working in the past, God is working in the present, and God will be working in the future and is working in the future. He is not bound by time. He's God. He's sustaining, he's creating, he's doing all of this, and he's involved in every bit of it. I think it's, again, easy for us to step back and go, you know, God's just kind of looking down and going, you know what, they'll figure it out. It'll all kind of, you know, end up okay. No. He's involved in everyone's life right now. He's closer to us than the person sitting next to us. He's more real than your own breath. God is working, God is moving, God is stirring, and God is doing this for his glory so that we will step back and go, wow, look at him. Look at what he does. Look at how he works. And I love that also in this passage it says that there will be judgment. And it's important for us to realize that what God is doing is not just standing back and saying, okay, I'm not going to bring anybody to judgment. There's, you know, righteousness and good things. You know, we'll see. No, there's judgment. There's clear judgment that is coming because he's not just a sovereign king. He's a sovereign judge. And he will judge. And he will bring what is right to his people. And through all of this, through the difficulties that we see that are going on, we can ask questions. We can come to him. And he's saying, your voice matters. Tell me, pray, talk to me, relate with me. But no, I am the one who brings final judgment. I won't reveal the place that I go to occasionally work out. Yes, I actually go to a gym, believe it or not. But at my gym, there's a place in there that on the wall it says, no judgment zone. And if you know the place I'm talking about, you've seen it. And not only at the gym does it say no judgment zone, there's also an alarm. So if someone starts to bang something and grunt and, you know, be tough guy in the gym, they'll ring the no judgment alarm. Let me be clear. The Bible's clear. There's judgment. And there's no autonomous zone where we can say, all right, if I get over there, I'll have to be judged. Everyone will face judgment. Every one of us. And God is that judge. Now, in our hearts, do we wish there was a place that we didn't have to be judged? Of course. Even original sin, Adam and Eve. She was trying to get in her own autonomous zone, and her husband stayed there with her, and he's like, all right, let's go together, right? They didn't want judgment. None of us do. But it's coming. And there's only one who's righteous. There's only one who's fair. And there's only one who is the final judge. And it's God. And when we all pass from this world, and even some in this world, we'll face some serious judgment. And we'll stand before God. And he will judge us. Now the beauty of us who are in Christ is we will stand before God and he will say, why did you do this? And then Jesus will say, I'll take that judgment. That's on me. Every sin, every evil thought, every time you didn't do the right thing and you should have, everything you did goes on him. And his judgment was brutal. We're going to confess it here in a minute. Stood before Pontius Pilate. If we really do research on the cross and look at what the cross was all about, how brutal it was. His judgment was brutal. Y'all, we should have received that and we don't. And that's what the sovereign judge says. He says it about you if you're in Christ. He says it about me in Christ. And so we trust him. We trust his word. We listen. We wait. Because he is the judge. And I'm so glad he's the judge. And I'm so glad that my judgment is not on me or on us. It's put on Christ himself. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. He died the perfect death. And the sovereign king who rules all says, I'm in control. Listen to me. Listen to me. And your judgment is on him. And so we can have peace and we can rest there. Sovereignty. If you signed up for the 301 class, we're going to be talking about this again on Saturday. And encourage you, if you have some time this week, just read more about it, think more about it. The sovereign king and the sovereign judge leads us to tremendous peace. And so let's rest there. Let me pray for us. Father, we praise you that you are sovereign, that you are good, that we, while deserving judgment, while deserving pain, Lord, you have taken that upon yourself, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the death that you died for us. Thank you that you loved us and that your judgment of us is righteous, that we are your saints, we are your children. And so I just pray for everyone here, pray for my own soul today, that we would rest there. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.